God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Luke 6. Jesus said, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful as your Father is merciful." Dear friends in Christ, Jesus' words today are one of those hard sayings. Jesus says, love your enemies. So the first thing we try to do is soften up Jesus' words. Well, He couldn't admit that. For example, when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, we often soften up those words. And we love those neighbors who love us. We love those neighbors who are like us. We love those neighbors who do good to us. But that's not what Jesus says. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. And then He says, everyone is your neighbor. And then Jesus makes it crystal clear when He says, love your enemies. Jesus is speaking here of a no strings attached, no holds barred, no ifs, ands, or buts love. Love for the loveless, kindness for the unkind, generosity to those who can't pay you back. Jesus is not talking about just a fuzzy fondness. No, Jesus is speaking about a concrete, radical love that leads us to love others recklessly without any hope or expectation of receiving anything in return. Why? This is how Jesus loved us, with total, reckless abandon. And this is the only kind of love that can save the world. Jesus' radical love teaches us, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But again, we try to soften up those words and make them more palatable. So we change Jesus' words slightly, but we give His words a huge difference in meaning. We say, do unto others as others have done unto you. Thus, we make our love for others contingent on their love for us, rather than contingent on Jesus' radical, reckless, free, unconditional, undeserved love. Now, Jesus wants to make sure we understand clearly what He's saying. So He goes on to explain, if you love those who love you, what credit is that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting repayment. Jesus does not want us to love others like unbelievers and pagans do. He wants us to love others like Jesus first loved us and gave Himself up for us when we were undeserving sinners and enemies. And He loves us with a love that refuses to let us go. To love our enemies this recklessly, this selflessly, this freely, is to love others in the same way God loved us. No strings attached, no supplies are limited, no expiration dates, no best if used by dates, no boundaries, and without any expectation for a return on investment. We are to love this world like God loved us, undeservedly, unconditionally, sacrificially. As with all of God's word, there's more here than meets the eye. I want you to understand, love your enemies in an entirely new way today. In fact, you may have never thought of it like this before. But as we love our enemies, we will experience firsthand what it is like to be a child of God ourselves. In other words, do you really, truly want to know what it feels like to be loved to the degree that God loves you? Then love your enemies. And you will begin to experience just how much God loves you. When Jesus says, give to those who cannot repay you and pray for those who persecute you, as you attempt to do this, you will begin to get a glimpse of just how much love God has in his heart for you. You may have never thought of it like this before, but one reason Jesus wants us to love our enemies, give to those who cannot repay, and pray for our persecutors is so that, in a backwards sort of way, Jesus can reveal not just to our enemies, but to us, how much our Heavenly Father loved us and still loves us in Jesus. Jesus puts it like this in our text. God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. God's love for us in Jesus refuses revenge and retaliation. But God in Christ preferred to reconcile us and redeem us to himself when we were enemies. This is how love you are. But Pastor, doesn't the Old Testament tell us in Exodus 21, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise, life for life? Yes, it does. But what Jesus was getting at in Exodus 21 is that if you do take someone to court, you are not to exact excessive punishment. Punishment was to be in proportion to the damage you incurred and no more. But be careful. If you demand your right to inflict punishment on your enemies, do you want God to inflict punishment on you? Do you want God to be fair to you rather than be merciful and gracious to you and love you and forgive you? Under the law, you could demand punishment in proportion to the damage done. Under the law, God could demand punishment of you in proportion to the damage done. But the Lord's ultimate will is not to exact vengeance, but that we would love and forgive and care for and pray for and seek to save our enemies. In other words, God didn't demand his right to punish us, but he extended his hands on the cross to forgive us instead. When we love others as Christ first loved us, personal revenge is overruled, and vengeance is taken off the table. On what basis? God's undeserved love to us when we were enemies. You do not have a God-given right to get even. Instead, Jesus says, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek. If someone takes your cloak, give him the shirt off your back. If someone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Which comes as a shock to our revenge-oriented society. What does our sinful world tell us to do? If someone cuts us off in traffic, run them off the road. If someone tries to take your coat, pull out your gun. If someone takes what belongs to you, haul him into court and sue the socks off of him. That's the way of a sinful world. That's not the way of God's love in Christ. That's what unbelievers are expected to do. It's not what those who have been loved with a reckless, selfless love of Jesus do. When we try to settle the score, we're usurping God's authority, who alone has the right to judge and punish, but does so only as a last resort, while always preferring to love, forgive, and save. In fact, since Jesus forgave everyone on the cross, the only ones who he will end up judging on Judgment Day are the ones who refuse to be loved and who refuse his forgiveness. And even then, we see that Jesus in the Gospels oftentimes bawls his eyes out over those who reject him. Romans 12 says, "Dear friends, never take revenge, but leave it to the righteous anger of God. As he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil by doing good." In fact, you may have never thought of it like this, but how do you know that the Lord didn't allow those enemies to do what they did to you? Now, he didn't cause it, but he allowed them to do what they did to you, not only to discipline and train us to respond to evil with mercy, just like Jesus did, but also so that those who are evil will come into contact with you and me, who know the love and forgiveness of Jesus, so that we can share it with them. And if you doubt that God would work in such mysterious ways, then you need to reconsider again the cross of Jesus, where God used and allowed evil people, Roman injustice, and a wrongful crucifixion to accomplish his will of winning salvation for the whole world, including you and me. He used evil to save the world. And in a short sort of way, that's what the sermon is all about when he says, love your enemies. Use even their evil to save them. In other words, our Lord often works subversively and contrary to the way you may think he should to accomplish his loving, forgiving, and saving of a wicked world. If you remember the story from our Old Testament lesson, Joseph's brothers, in a fit of rage and jealousy over Joseph strutting around like a peacock in his coat of many colors, which was also wrong of Joseph, they threw him into a pit until they decided to sell him to a slave trader on the way to Egypt. They then dipped Joseph's coat of many colors in lamb's blood and convinced their father, Jacob, that Joseph was dead. But Joseph's mistreatment didn't end there. Joseph was then wrongly accused of a crime he didn't do in Egypt and thrown into prison. Yet God used all that evil to raise up Joseph from being a prisoner in Egypt, to become Pharaoh's right-hand man in charge of the entire food supply of Egypt, as God enabled Joseph to interpret Pharaoh's dreams, and as the story unfolded, a great famine hit, just as Joseph predicted. However, Egypt was well positioned to help its neighbors with Joseph in charge, until one day Joseph's own brothers came to Egypt looking for food, not knowing they were dealing with their own brother Joseph. So what would you have done when your evil brothers arrived? Joseph could have taken revenge, settled the score, hauled him into court, poured out vengeance, but then God's will would never have been done. Instead, Joseph left vengeance to God and treated his brothers with the reckless, undeserved love which he himself had received from God. And with forgiveness and love towards his brothers, Joseph spoke these famous words from Genesis 50. "You intended what you did for evil, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And all the brothers wept, and they hugged each other and forgave each other. And that's God's goal for all of his enemies and all of our enemies. But it doesn't happen when we insist on revenge rather than love and forgiveness. In the end, God permitted their evil and even used their evil to accomplish the saving of many lives, just like he did at the cross. Behind the terrible evil that was done to Jesus by the sins of us all, and which God permitted, he was working to save the lives of his enemies through the good news of Jesus' all-forgiving death. And the good news for us is this: if God is this kind to the ungrateful and the wicked through Christ's cross, then you and I are included in his kindness, must confess that we are often ungrateful and wicked in the ways we treat others. Rarely, if ever, do we love our enemies. Rarely do we bless those who curse us. Rarely do we pray for those who persecute us. We do not give to those who cannot repay. We have not been merciful to, as our Father in heaven is merciful. We have often acted like enemies, not only toward others, but even towards God. So when our Lord says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, you may not have considered this, but he is also instructing our enemies to love and pray for you with the love of Jesus. Our problem is that we all have a disease called sin that keeps us from truly, freely, unconditionally loving others with the same love that God loved us with in Christ. Our sin keeps us from being merciful to those who don't deserve it, even though our Heavenly Father is merciful to those who don't deserve it. So what's the answer? It is not in trying harder to love your enemies. No. The answer is in putting the sinner in you to death. Put that sinner to death in you that wants to get even. Repent of that sinful flesh in you that wants to settle the score. Turn away from that sinful nature in you that wants to get revenge, or dare I say, initiate evil. And then, when you turn from that sinful side of you, 1 John 1 promises, as often as we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do we love our enemies? Recall your baptism. Were you the sinner? Were united with Christ in his death? And you, the sinner, were put to death in your baptism personally. You were given, that sinner in you was given a funeral and a burial and a death. And you, the new you, a child of God, was raised to newness of life with Christ living in you. How do we love our enemies? By being bathed in Christ's love again and again in his word and sacraments, until his love has its way with us. We gather together in God's house to be so loved by Jesus' unending, limitless, reckless love that we can't help but leave here and love, including enemies, so that somehow, some way, either by our words or our deeds, they will see that they are included in Jesus' love just like we are. In order that you may love even your enemies, let me assure you that you are loved by God completely. You are loved by Jesus when you don't deserve it. You are loved by God when you were an enemy. You are loved by God with a love that will never let you go. Romans 5 says, God proved his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, catch that, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled with God, shall we be saved through Christ's life? And as we're loved with Jesus's love for enemies' love, it instills in you, it puts in you, Christ in you loves with a love for enemies' love. Jesus prayed for his enemies, Father, forgive them. Even when those enemies, including our sins, nailed him to the cross. You see, there's two ways you can deal with your enemies. You can either seek to destroy them, or you can seek to make them your friends again. God chose option two, and he wants you to choose option two. God reconciled the whole world to himself by making peace through Christ's blood shed on the cross. That's how you deal with enemies. When we were still God's enemies, Jesus shed his blood for us. When we were still God's enemies, Jesus loved us completely. When we were still enemies, Jesus forgave us with his blood. Why? We have a Savior who is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. We have a Savior who is in a forgiving kind of mood. In Jesus, enemies are forgiven rather than avenged. Enemies are befriended rather than destroyed. Jesus loved you and me this recklessly and this freely, not only to save us, but also so that we could love our enemies with a love for enemies' love that flowed from a God who is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked.